Audrey, I have to apologize because I'm dragging you out of bed so early this morning as you were in Arizona.
At least it's about 60 degrees here right now.
Well, I hope you got your coffee there, and thanks so much for getting up with us.
No problem.
Fascinating story in the USA Today front page, a story titled, "For Teachers, Many Ways and Reasons to Cheat on Tests. High stakes for schools mean higher pressure. Testing the system." We're going to be talking about that story. Before we do, Audrey, tell us what you teach at Arizona State.
I teach research methods, so it's qualitative research and then statistics.
And give us your background in education.
I was a math teacher for about 6 years, high school and middle school.
And in this story, they talk about teachers who, whether it's personal survival, survival for their classroom, survival for their school district, they're cheating. And we're going to talk about that story a little bit later on. But you created a survey, and the title in this little story of you is "A Professor Confesses Her Own Cheating-Inspired Survey." Talk about that.
Yeah, so when I was a middle school teacher, actually, we had a high-stakes assessment. It wasn't the state high-stakes assessment, but a district benchmark, if you're familiar with that. And we were held accountable for it and evaluated on that. So it was high-stakes in terms of keeping our jobs. And what I did as the math teacher for the whole district was developed copy tests, or basically it's called clone items. And so I took the actual test and made two different forms of all the tests with the same types of questions, just changing the names of the people in the word problems and changing the numbers. And so what we would do is rehearse these kids over and over on these tests. And basically by the time they got the actual test, they didn't even need to read the word problems anymore because I broke it down so methodically, given all these practice tests, that I really did teach to the test in the classic definition of what teaching to the test looks like.
And now, you know, just listening to your story, it sounds like there was a lot of preparation there. And did you give them the actual answers and the actual test questions in the same form, the same way they were presented?
And no, the different numbers. So it's basically the same exact questions, just with the context and the actual numbers changed. So it is a form of cheating. It's not actually cheating, and that's what we did in the article and the survey when we surveyed the 3,000 teachers, is we've quickly discovered that you need a taxonomy of cheating. And there's something called first-degree cheating where teachers are literally, or administrators as well, literally erasing like answers on the Scantron. That's first degree, like intentional, deliberate, kind of like a first degree offense in law. Then the second degree is kind of when a teacher walks by a student's desk and see that they made a quote-unquote stupid mistake. You know, just give the kid a nudge and say, you know, why don't you check out number 6 again? And sometimes the teachers thought that they were doing the kids a favor by doing that, or especially with an ELL student who didn't speak English and the student needs a definition of a term. And if the teacher gives that, it's considered a form of cheating. But it's not the same thing as cheating and erasing an answer for a kid, but it's still like a second level or a second degree of cheating. And then the third degree of cheating was teaching to the test, where you really think, a lot of teachers think that this is really ethical or professional test preparation, but when you look at what you're actually doing, for example, in my case, where the students didn't even need to read the word problems anymore or use their skills or critical thinking to get through the test, then that's where you have an issue.
Did you know you were cheating?
No. I thought it was ethical test preparation. I thought I was doing a really good job.
So what did you do afterwards?
Oh, nothing. I left the district and I went to grad school, and I did my dissertation on testing and assessment and measurement, and then I started reading a lot of literature about what teaching to the test and teaching to the standards is. So there's a really stark difference between the two of those, and a lot of people don't understand.
Do you think a lot of teachers make the same mistake?
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. Even with the survey, there were a lot of cases where, like, well, we teach to the test, but that's ethical test preparation. Well, it depends. You know, it's kind of like the Kaplan companies with the college prep. You go there, you pay good money to learn things like 3 in a row, no, 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 when in doubt, guess C, how do you manipulate the, you know, multiple choice exams. And that's a form of cheating, really. But it's privatized, and people pay for it, and they get their, you know, their children's college entrance exam scores boosted, and they're good to go.
Audrey, from what you know, from what you've learned, do you think the teachers who blatantly cheat, who know they're cheating, do you think that they feel pressured to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way that high-stakes tests have really swept the country, there's a lot of consequences attached to these tests now. And especially, I think it's worse in higher needs schools or schools with students with low socioeconomic backgrounds. Students in schools that are, you know, middle class, upper class, they do pretty well in these tests. They don't really, you know, they're kind of just another step on the way to college. But some of these kids in these high needs inner city schools are really struggling. So it's really much more common in these high need schools.
Do you think the school districts are blatantly saying, hey, we've got to fudge these test scores?
I've done a research for the last 30 years of these high stakes tests. And I've come across hundreds of articles about administrators that will hire test coaches and come bring in for professional development and really work with the teachers. You know, for another example is to work with the bubble kids. And so the bubble kids are the group of kids that are right under the cut score. And so what they'll do is marginalize the kids that don't even have a chance of making it, focus on the bubble kids just to get them over the bubble. And what happens is an artificial increase, but it gets adequate yearly progress for the next year.
Your survey, Cheating First, Second, and Third Degree, was published in the Education Poly Analysis Archives this past June. Tell us what you learned from that and what was the most surprising.
The most surprising was that really that we went into it thinking that we would be able to quantify how often cheating occurs. And then once we got all the responses, we decided that we needed this taxonomy. So I think one of the big findings was that people can't just say it's a yes or no answer, that the teacher's a cheater or a teacher's not a cheater. It depends on what happens and the context in which it occurs. I think that was the first thing. I think the second implication of the study is that teaching is a profession, and I couldn't believe that more, especially being a former teacher. And I definitely don't think we need more policing at schools to make sure this isn't happening. But I do think that teachers and administrators at local districts need to come to some kind of understanding. You know, what do we think is cheating and what do we think is ethical and professional test preparation practice? And also, how much time are we really going to spend preparing these kids for these tests when every week that we prepare for these tests, we marginalize other things that are ultimately more important?
I tell you what, Audrey, one of our family's best friends is a third grade teacher. As a matter of fact, she taught my son last year. I had no idea there were different degrees of cheating, especially when you think you're doing what's best for the kids, but in the long run, it may hurt them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, for folks who want to take a look of your survey, is there a website to go to?
They could just Google probably cheating in the first, second, third degree. But the website, the journal, is open access, so it's free to everybody. And it's called Cheating in the First, Second, and Third Degree.
All right. Audrey Armheim Beardsley is, or excuse me, Amrheim.
No worries.
Beardsley is a PhD from Arizona State University. Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks so much.